Welcome back to the Really Good Gospel Podcast. This is episode 2 in the initial series. And if you're new, thank you. Thanks for hopping on board. And if you're new, I just want you to know that this podcast exists for you. It's to encourage your walk with the Lord, with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have a walk with Jesus Christ, to encourage you or challenge you to ask him, Lord Jesus, are you real? Do you exist? And he will be faithful to answer that prayer. If you would just sincerely just kind of surrender your heart, your mind to him and just say, Lord, I want to know if you're real. I want to know if the salvation thing is real. I want to know if you have anything to do with my life. If sin is something that I need to take serious, if your grace is something I need to receive, salvation is there. It's real. It's for you. And so this podcast exists to encourage you to move forward, to at least move one step in that direction toward the Lord. Okay, so in episode 1, I gave some background into the gospel coming into my life and some of the soil that I grew up in Chicago and in my family, in my home, and the challenges there, the difficulties. So I just want to begin with one, just to kind of frame one more piece of background from back then. I mean, there's no doubt I'll kind of go back and forth a little bit with some of that historical background. But I just want to lead with this part here. And then I'm going to really go into more of just this darker season, which is what this first kind of series of the Really Good Gospel Podcast is all about. So back in 1996, I'm married to Lisa. We have our first baby, Mariah, and I'm away for business. I'm in Seattle, and I'm staying in a hotel, and I'm doing some training. And the next day, I have to kind of take this final test to be done with this training and then fly back home. About 2:30 in the morning, though, I get a phone call. And of course, when the hotel phone rings at 2:30 in the morning, first of all, it startles you. And then you're alarmed because, okay, what is that? Hopefully it's a wrong number or nothing's wrong. But there was something wrong. My brother called me and he was upset. He was crying and he said, and I said, what's wrong? And he said, Dad died. And I said, well, what happened? And he said that he took his own life. He committed suicide. And so what my dad did was he took a bunch of his heart pills that he had prescribed to him. And he took way too many, of course. He did it intentionally. And he took his own life. And that was devastating. It was shocking. It was just a horrible episode, of course, without a doubt. And so, but to take you back even right before that, you know, of course, my relationship with my dad was very strained. Kurt's relationship, my brother's relationship with my dad was very strained. My mom's relationship with my dad was very strained. My dad was, he was hopeless, I believe. I don't believe he ever knew Jesus Christ. He didn't seem to care about it, never talked about it, didn't seem to have embraced that. And so, you know, me and my dad had a really strange relationship, and we would often fight. And now I love my dad, and I think in some ways, of course, he loved me. But right before he took his own life, the phone rang again one night, and this was, you know, in Denver, where me and Lisa and Mariah were living. And I answered the phone. It was somewhat late at night, not quite 2:30 in the morning, but pretty late at night. And I answered it. It was my dad. And I said, hello. And basically all he said to me was, Brent, I'm not your father and you are not my son. And that was it. And he hung up, and Lisa said, what was that all about? I said, I have no idea. My dad just said, I'm basically not his son anymore, and he's not my father. That was the last that I ever talked to my dad. And then after that, at some point, he took his own life. Now, that was confusing. That was really strange. You know, there's obviously a a betrayal there. There's obviously a disconnect. Really hard to process, really hard to understand why. Don't know if he was trying in one sense to let me off the hook with what he was going to be doing to his own life, or if he sincerely didn't want me as his son and didn't ever want to be my dad. I truly have no idea. It's just one of those dangling mysteries that I don't know if it'll ever be answered. Maybe in eternity it'll be answered for me. But so that's important to hear, because just having that background is really important. But then it's going to be important because of what's going to happen in this dark season that I go through about 4 or 5 years ago. So I always thought growing up that I wanted to be a pro baseball player. That was my dream. I played baseball all the time. I loved it. I was good at it. Other people saw that I was good at it. I got encouragement from others with it. I saw results. In high school, I was scouted by Major League Baseball, teams. And so this wasn't some kind of pipe dream. This was something that, could have been very real. I played baseball in college. I got hurt there and decided, you know what, that's going to be the end of my career. I don't need to pursue it anymore. I could have gotten surgery to fix my shoulder. Didn't want to. I was getting married, which was really the most important thing to me. Baseball wasn't as important as it used to be. And I was realizing, I realized this years later, that my first dream, which I thought was becoming a professional baseball player, was not my first dream. My first dream was that I would have a family and that I would redeem really everything that was happening in my own family. I wanted to start over. I wanted to be a husband and a dad that was present, that was leading, that was strong and yet loving and compassionate, leading with Jesus at the center. And so when Lisa and I started dating in college, and she was a new believer, and when we were just really growing, and we were best friends, and of course still best friends today, and married for 33 years now, and our relationship is stronger than ever, and I love her dearly, and we've been through so much and so many good memories and some difficult ones, of course, as well. But I was so excited to really begin marriage and to start a family. So we were dating, we get engaged, and after 9 months of dating, and then maybe a year later or so, a year later, we get married. And that was a dream come true. And then to have Mariah, that was unbelievable. That was surreal. And then to have Nathan and Seth and Ainsley and this growing family, and I just was praising the Lord. I mean, just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you for giving us this family. Love this, and I just want to be the best husband, the best dad that I can be. And so that dream was being fulfilled. That dream was very real and very amazing. And but there was more to come in it. And so, as our family was growing and the kids were growing up, and now they're beginning to wrestle with life as well, and I'm in the ministry, and Lisa is a mom and a wife and a pastor's wife and doing some other things as well. She's coaching volleyball and a part of a faith-based volleyball club. As things are progressing in our family and kids are growing up, now there's there's opportunity as kids get to think for themselves or just whatever, wrestle with life and faith and things, that we began to see just a tension, which I believe really was the beginning of a lot of spiritual warfare that was happening in our home, in my life. The Bible makes it very clear that the enemy comes, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I tell you what, that was a very real kind of reality. And so, this dream that I had, this prayer really that I had as a young kid, in many ways, my prayer was, It was definitely, you know, Lord, I want to start a family and I want to do this over again. But it was also kind of, I was always praying for like a do-over. Lord, give me a do-over. Man, I just so long to have, you know, grown up in a different context. But of course, the Lord knows what he's doing. The Lord uses everything. The Lord doesn't waste anything. The Lord redeems. And so he was answering my prayer in many ways, of course, with Lisa and the kids and a growing family. And then I was getting into ministry and things were really progressing. And I was just so grateful for what was happening. And then just life went really hard and really dark. And everything in our life, in my life especially, was being hit. The first thing I can remember where I believe the season kind of started, and it was a long season. I mean, this was about 4 or 5 years of just darkness and confusion and trials and every bit of life being hit and touched on. And I believe it started back in 2015 when I had this big health scare and my heart was racing. I was sick for a few days and I was tired of being sick, and I'm always active and doing things. And at that time I was playing a lot of basketball. And so I just decided to go play basketball, even though I was really sick, just feeling under the weather. And about the fifth game, I just felt like I've never felt before. And so I had to sit down. I didn't say anything to anybody. I'm trying to feel my pulse, and my pulse is racing so much so where I could hardly feel it. So I go home. And eventually me and Lisa go to the emergency room and I tell them what's happening. And as soon as you tell them about heart issues, of course, they race at you with about 20 people. And I go directly to the ICU and they're caring for me. And I have no idea what's happening. This has never happened to me before. But it was diagnosed as AFib. And I really haven't had a struggle with that since then, praise the Lord. But that was really bad and it was really scary and I wasn't sure what was gonna happen, and I was hoping that my heart would get back to normal. But I felt very vulnerable at that point physically. I felt like there was a definite physical just issue, and that was a little bit, you know, discouraging. But then obviously just, hey, when I was able to get out of the ICU and get back to normal, like, thank you, Lord. So my health was hit at one point, but then I was seeing stuff being hit in just every which way you can, in this 4 or 5 year season, just kids, just stuff with kids when they're growing up and they're going into middle school and going into high school, and they are being exposed to other things and other worldviews, and they're dealing with their own insecurities or temptations when their walk with Jesus is maybe really thin or maybe non-existent, which it was for, you know, I think a couple of them, then everything kind of can be on the table. And certainly so much was on the table with what was going on with our kids, some things that we didn't know that was going on, because when they're out of the house and they're in school or they're at a friend's house or they're doing whatever, there's just things that you don't know. And but there was a lot of tension that was welling, especially with one of our kids. And there was just a lot of acrimony. There was a lot of confusion and tension, and there was a lot of opposition that was happening. There was opposition to me and Lisa. There was opposition to Jesus, to the faith. There was in this one particular kid, there was darkness, there was hopelessness, and there was this sense of I don't know if I even want to kind of be in this world right now. And so much so, where I just knew, this was building, and I'm not going to go into so much detail with some of these things with the kids. I may ask them down the road how much I can share, you know, they might say, hey, you could share whatever you want. They're pretty open. And, but so much so that it got to the point, I mean, the tension was building. I just can't say it deeply enough. And it was putting us in a big time state of just angst and desperation. I mean, so much so that there was an episode one night with one of the kids where, I mean, it just seemed like they weren't themselves. And there was such anger and there was such, I don't know, just lostness and distance. And I just remember Lisa just screaming out, "What is going on?" And we didn't know what was happening. And it was one of these strangest nights, certainly one of the strangest nights with one of our kids. And it was such a spiritual battle. It seemed like a demonic battle, like there was a fight for their heart. And so this was going on for a while. And at one point, the kid looked at me, the child looked at me and said, "I don't care if you're my dad. I don't want to be your child." And that was a crazy moment, obviously because of the connection with my dad. When he called me that night when I was in Denver, living in Denver, and I answer the phone and all he says to me is, "I'm not your dad and you're not my son." And so in one sense, I kind of smirked, because it was at that moment where I said, okay, I see the enemy at work in a very intentional, generational way right now in my life, in my family, and we are under a pressure. This is a intentional direct hit on our family. And I believe that the Lord was answering a prayer that I had from a long, long time ago. And yet it wasn't going to be answered in a easy way, a quick way. He gave us a season to, you know, have this foundation and for the kids to grow up. But then I'm telling you, for about 4 or 5 years, it was a battle. It was war. It was, am I going to hang in there? Am I going to persevere? Am I going to quit? Am I going to run away? Do I still want this? Or do I not? Am I going to give up quickly? And I believe that this was an attack very much on me. I believe that, there was a testing in many ways from the Lord. And I believe that the enemy wanted nothing to do but to destroy something that God was building up. But our kids were being attacked in so many ways, but then also wondering and living in a way that obviously we weren't wanting them to, or just having a worldview in some ways, or believing some lies, or whatever it may be, some stuff normal that kids are going to go through, or even Christian families. And then you're hoping that your kid will get out of that season and turn to the Lord. But this was so dire, and the tension was so thick for many years, and things were building that I just knew that things were not going to end well in some way. I didn't know what it was going to be. But one of the things that really marked the end of this season was when my brother Kurt died. And the first kind of cycle that ended in a generational way was, you know, my father dying And that was preceded by obviously years and years and years of a lot of dysfunction and pain and whatever it might be. And this 4 or 5 years of just difficulty was so intense that I knew something was going to happen. Now, Kurt died, and that was just so unforeseen, obviously so unlike my dad's death, and yet so strange in so many ways, and so hurtful, and the grief was so deep, and I miss him every day, and sometimes I feel like I can text him. I want to text him, and because I want to share some good news about something, and obviously, you know, I realize I can't in that millisecond. But that was a part of that season, and that was really difficult, and that was getting ready to go into a sabbatical for 3 months after 17 years of ministry to get refreshed. And yet that was more kind of grappling and grinding and now grief that was happening. I remember I told you in the first episode that I had met with a counselor, and I was diagnosed with traumatic stress and, you know, just massive anxiety and some burnout, and yet none of us knew that there was going to be deep, deep, deep grief to come with the loss of Kurt. And then, so all that was coming together. But, you know, if I go back to some of the things that was happening with my kids, you know, one kid goes off to college and just really struggles, doesn't want to be in college. And that was difficult. And there were challenges there. And then another one is off to college and living in a way in which we really didn't know much about, and it wasn't the way we wanted them to live. But then, even before then, there were so many like just crazy things that piled and stacked one on top of the other. One of our kids was T-boned by a school bus. And I just, thankfully, no one was in the passenger side. It came from the passenger side, and you know, the person driving it was okay, thankfully. But if someone was in the passenger side, like, I don't know what would have happened, but the car was mangled. And then another kid is driving on the ice, and that's kind of a popular thing to do in Minneapolis in the winter. Who then drove on thin ice, and the car goes through the ice, and they narrowly escape from going in the water. The car ended up in the bottom of the lake, and they narrowly escaped to get out. There were tension with some of our kids, you know, just what they would do at school maybe, and fights that one of them got in, and then lying about it. I mean, there was just, you know, if you're a parent and you're parenting teens, you can imagine, and it's hard when you're going through with one thing with the kid or something's happening to them, but when things are going on with a number of them and circumstances are stacking to the point where you have no idea what's going on and you're just being hit every which way, it's insane. And so this dark season just continued to pile up. And so my health is hit. We're getting hit with stuff with kids, even things with church, with, you know, some things were difficult, and love my church and love the people in the church. But, you know, as I was being distracted with family stuff, you know, there were just some odd things happening with some church stuff as well. And that was really hard on us. And that was mounting in so many ways. And then even financially, we were getting hit as well. Even some relationship stuff was being deteriorated. And so, like, just overall, just well-being and a sense of, I mean, normalcy, or just being anchored, or just knowing what was happening and what a season is all. You know, normally you kind of know what a season is all about, or what's happening. Hey, I'm in a season now where I'm starting a business and I got to work hard, right? That's a season. I'm going to grind it out. I'm going to have vacations for a year or two, or we might not have money for a year or two. Like you know what's happening. You know the cost. I had no idea what the cost was here. I had no idea what the purpose was here. I was so confused. I was so devastated by so many things because it was piling up. And I just remember telling somebody at some point that I felt like with everything that was happening, that I was basically on a gurney getting ready to go into an ambulance. And I just felt, you know, so devastated. And then when my brother dies, I felt like that gurney going into the ambulance, I get hit by a car while I'm on that gurney. And I just felt like I'm done. I can't take anymore, Lord. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why you're doing all of this, but I can't take it anymore. And so some of this isn't going to be a perfect timeline, but before Kurt dies and all this is going on, I'm beginning to just feel the weight of some trauma and some parallels with a first cycle with my dad and things that are going on now that I can't believe are happening. And so I'm just in this place of, I mean, hurting and sadness and deep, deep darkness that I can't describe. I'm going to try to. But the kind of hurt and the kind of emptiness and the kind of temptation for despair or hopelessness was there. It was more real than just about anything else. Scripture wasn't speaking to me. The Lord seemed distant. I felt extremely alone. I felt betrayed. If I felt betrayed by my earthly father in the first time around, this second time around, and because there were so many parallels, I felt betrayed by my heavenly father. I couldn't believe that he was allowing me to go through something like this. Now, so as I, you know, just to kind of go back and try to describe some of the darkness that I was just feeling, I mean, you know, Lisa, of course, knew everything that was going on. She was experiencing this too. And in some ways, you know, experiencing this very deeply, but then in many ways, not experiencing it the way I was because of the thread of my, you know, personal generational history. And so, you know, along the way, she's trying to help me a little bit. And I'm also talking to a million people. I'm talking to all kinds of people to share what's happening and get any kind of insight I can get. I'm talking to a few pastor friends and a lot of older gentlemen that have wisdom and been through some things in life. And I'm going to, you know, Lisa's like, well, let's try some acupuncture and maybe that'll help with some anxiety. And I'm going to a chiropractor for some just, you know, physical pain with stuff. But, you know, when I go to the acupuncture person, she kind of does some initial stuff. Lisa's waiting outside, the door's open. She gets done just setting up some things with me. She goes outside to go talk to Lisa. And I can hear her say to Lisa, what's happened to him? And that was comforting in some way because someone could see that there was something very wrong and I am hurting. But then also it was scary because I'm just like, yeah, what has happened to me? And I have no idea. And I have no idea how to get out of this. And then I go to a chiropractor who I've been going with, and he must have just been feeling something just so tense in my body that he asked me, you know, he's being savvy about this, and I'm picking up on this, right? Because I'm a pastor and I do counseling and I understand where he's going. But he says, hey, how's your family doing? How's your wife? How are your kids? And what he's getting at is, did something happen? Is something wrong with them? Because your body is acting like there was something deeply, deeply wrong or anxious about you, like more than normal. But at one point, because the grind was so difficult over this season, and things were, and I'm not even getting into all of it, but things were mounting in such a way that I felt like I was in a catatonic state for a few days at one point, where I'm sitting in a chair in my living room and all I'm doing is staring out, and everything in deep inside of me is very reasonable and thinking through, but there was a layer of me that was so confused, so lost, so hurt that I didn't know what to do. And so I remember I would, when somebody wasn't home and, or when nobody was home, and it was just me, I would be flat on the ground, face on the carpet, and all I could do is yell help to the Lord. Cause I had nothing. I had no idea what. And I was just like, Lord, show me what it is, what is going on, what is this darkness? If this is demonic, show me. I remember being in the kitchen, this is kind of funny, but I remember being in the kitchen, it was just me and my dog, Wiley, and I'm saying, Lord, and I'm kind of yelling out in desperation, show me, what is this? You know, I wanted to see if there was, you know, some kind of demon or something that was there, just... Anyways, Wiley goes outside, comes back in. He had never done this before. He puts his face in some wet mud, and he comes in with only a black face. And I'm just, you know, I just kind of chuckle a little bit, because I'm just like, okay, that's different. That's odd. And maybe you're placating me, Lord, just to show me something. But it was such an odd coincidence and so weird. But anyways, I was so desperate for something, some answers, because when you're going through such deep pain, you are asking why is this happening? Why did that happen? And maybe you've done that before in your life, and you're asking the questions, why has this happened? What is going on? And so this gets to the point where, you know, I have... never, and I've set this up in the first episode, where my life is all about Jesus. My life is all about the Lord. And I'm so grateful for the gifts he's given me, my family and my kids and livelihood and giftedness and ministry and all, and experiences and vacations and what amazing. But Jesus is the center of it. He is worthy of it all. He is the one. He is the thing. He's the most valuable thing in my life. But one of the most difficult things was just feeling like he himself was betraying me in a way in which my dad did growing up. And that was the most difficult, scary thing. And so I had never been shaken in a way like that. When I was going through stuff with my dad, I leaned on the Lord and I was able to put things in perspective. Hey, my dad's earthly. He's a human. He's sinful. You're perfect, Father. You know, Heavenly Father, you're amazing. You're awesome. You love me, and I'm going to walk with you, and I will cling to you in the midst of, you know, very difficult circumstances in our home. But when, you know, when this was happening in a way in which, hey, my dad's not here anymore. He's not causing issues. And you know, I'm not trying to bring any of this on, that's for certain. And I couldn't produce any of this in some way. All these circumstances, I just couldn't choreograph that. No human could. So I in so many ways was just face to face with the Lord and so hurt and feeling so alone because I thought, I don't know, I just thought like, where did the Lord go? What's he doing? How could he? I mean, if he loves me so much, how could he allow me to go through this much pain? And it was a pain in which I still have some anxiety today because I don't want to feel that kind of pain again. All that mixed together, a complicated grief. It was a pain that was suffocating. I never, ever thought about taking my own life or anything like that. But I could for the first time go, oh, wow, a way out though of this might be nice. Should I run away? You know, should I go do something I shouldn't do? And, you know, I can't hang on anymore. So I remember, you know, I'm going to end here and I'll continue this in episode 3. But one of the things, as I was talking to so many different people, one of the things that stood out to me was from an old wise pastor that I was talking to. And he said, you know, you're probably ready and at the age and at the maturity in your walk with the Lord where the Lord is saying, okay, it's time. It's time to be tested in a way that you've never been tested before. It's a time to deal with some things. It's a time to heal. It's a time to go through some mortification of the flesh, and you're ready, and this is it. And it wasn't comforting at the time, per se. It did make sense, but looking back, I believe in many ways that that was right. And I'm going to continue that in episode 3. So, hey, thanks for listening. And well, I'd love to hear from you too. At any point, you've got questions about the Lord, or you're hurting, or you're in pain, you know, how can I pray for you? But hey, next time we will see you again in episode 3. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.